Good morning, everyone. Warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord, to each one today. It's good to see you gathered out in the house of God, and it is our prayer that the Lord will meet with us and that the Lord will bless us and that the Lord will even speak to our hearts. Those that are visiting as well, let me give you a warm welcome indeed. I want to thank you again for coming, and may the Lord bless you as you're with us this morning. I'll go through the announcements as briefly as I can. Let me remind you of our evening service at 7 p.m. and the time of prayer at 6:30 here in the main church hall. We do extend that invitation to each one to come back again this evening and to come and to worship the Lord with us here in his house. And we return this evening to your studies in the book of Acts, and we commence the chapter 17 whenever Paul moves on from Philippi and he comes to the city of Thessalonica. So do make that effort to come back again tonight and to be found in the Lord's house. Then tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. commences our holiday Bible club, and God willing it's going to be in the outdoors, out in the grass outside. And we do commend it to you for your prayers, as you have been praying. Do continue to pray for it, that the Lord will bless those meetings night by night. The bus will be going round the area from 6:30 from Crawford's Bridge, and then coming in through Berra and in the 6 mile cross. And we do pray that the Lord will preserve and watch over each one on the bus, and the Lord will bless in those meetings. And do, if you can, pray for them. Do certainly pray for them every day. And if you can as well, invite and encourage maybe children next door to you or friends of yours, and let them know, maybe grandchildren as well, bring them along. It's open to all ages, from nursery school age and upwards, and we'd be delighted to see as many children as possible being gathered out to those meetings night by night. Then can we just mention that the prayer meeting Wednesday night has been pushed back to the later time of 8:15, and it will just be a season of prayer this week with the later start as well. We just want to focus and centre our prayers and our attention upon the Bible club, and so we do remind you of that later time, 8:15, for this week only. And for those that are tuning in online, there'll be no online broadcast on Wednesday night. It'll just be the season of prayer here in the church, and we do encourage as many as possible coming to be praying for the Bible club, and come and even join together around the throne of grace in prayer. Then the services next Sunday at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. and the seasons of prayer beforehand up in the minor hall, and then here in the main church building in the evening time. And God willing, I'll be here to minister at both of those services. Can we just say a couple of words of thanks at this stage? I want to thank all those who have helped with the outreach, both on the 12th of July and also for the Holiday Bible Club. We do really appreciate all those that took time, both of those occasions, to come and to hand out the gospel tracts and to post the invitations through the doors. And we do pray that the Lord will continue to bless, and the Lord will even use those efforts for his honour and for his glory. As we mentioned the other night, we do thank those that filled the pulpit when we were off as well. We do appreciate the servants of God who came and faithfully ministered both in the Sundays and in the Wednesdays. I want to thank you as well for your prayers for us as we were off. We certainly do appreciate those. Now, while we were off, there were one major or main change in the guidelines within the country, and we just mentioned it to you, that wearing of masks during the service is now voluntary. It's still mandatory when you come in and when you go out of the building, but once you're seated in your seat, if you wish to remove them, you're welcome to do so. If you wish to wear them, then you're equally welcome to do so. So we just leave that with you. We're going to commence our worship now. This is a hymn 100 on the page 216. The hymn 100 on the page 216. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. And we'll stand after the introduction, please.
Thank you. Unite our hearts in prayer.
Still ourselves in God's presence this morning. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do bow before Thee this morning, the living and the true God. We bow before Thee with hearts that are full of love for Thee, because Thou hast first loved us. We thank Thee already in this service for bringing us to Calvary. We thank Thee for the love of God. We thank Thee for the sacrifice of the Son of God. We do rejoice that He bore all of that sin and that sorrow. He took our place, He took our stead. And we thank and praise Thee for His sufferings and for His death. We thank Thee for that blood of Jesus Christ which was shed. We do rejoice in the power of the blood. We do rejoice in the perfection of the blood. Oh, what a Savior we have. What blood has been washed, has been used even to wash us from all of our sins. To blot out all of our transgressions. We thank and praise Thee for our Savior. We do rejoice that death couldn't hold Him. We do rejoice this day that the tomb is empty. Yes, our Savior died upon the cross, but we thank and praise Thee on the third day, the very first day of the week, up from the grave He arose. The mighty triumph for His foes, He rose victorious. Oh, what a joy it is to know that we have victory in Jesus Christ. We come to Thee this morning in Thy house. We want to worship Thee, we want to praise Thee. We want to thank Thee, O God, this day. We want to meet with Thee. Lord, it is our earnest prayer that each and every one that is here, that they will meet with God this day. That they will know that the Lord is in the midst. They will know that the Lord is in His house. O God, come amongst us, we pray, and breathe upon us. We pray for the overseeing of the Holy Spirit of this meeting. We pray, O God, for the protection of the blood round about us. We pray, O God, that the devil will be kept out of this meeting, and each and every one that is here, that our minds and our hearts will be focused upon our Savior, that we will see our Savior high and lifted up. We come to Thee this day with thankfulness. We do thank Thee, O God, this day for everything that Thou hast been to us, even over these days. We thank Thee, O God, for watching over this congregation and each and every one since we were last together. We thank Thee, O God, for the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God. We thank Thee that we can testify it's followed us each and every day of our lives. We do look even into the week to come with confidence that regardless of what will come, our God is with us. For He has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. Lord, we do pray for this day. We pray for the service that lies before us. We pray, O God, that Thou will come and help us in the worship. That Thou will come and help us, O God, as we open up the book. As we read Thy precious word, as we then come to the preaching part of the service. O, give us that stillness. Give us that, O God, that voice from Thee. And work in hearts. Lord, Thou knowest the need of hearts this day. Thou knowest those, O God, that are still out of Christ without a Savior. We pray for mercy. We pray for grace to be extended to them. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt minister to their hearts. And Thou wilt draw them unto Thyself. We pray for Thy people. O God, that Thou wilt encourage them. That they will grow in grace and in knowledge of their Lord and Savior. We pray for those that are listening online. Lord, wherever they be this day, that Thou wilt bless them. That Thou wilt minister to their hearts. Thou wilt speak to them, O God, that Thou wilt bring them unto Thyself. We do look, O God, with expectancy for this week to come. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt come, and that Thou wilt work in this area amongst the boys and girls. Lord, we think of the invitations that have been given, both at the end of this school year and again just the other night. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt come, that Thou wilt work in the hearts of parents and of children. Thou wilt amaze us this week with who Thou dost bring in. Thou wilt bring in the lost. Thou wilt bring in the little boys and girls from this area. Thou wilt, O God, settle them. Thou wilt, O God, open their ears. Lord, may their minds be focused upon Thee. And as Thy word goes forth night by night, oh, that Thou wilt speak to those little ones. That Thou wilt draw them unto Thyself. Lord, may we come next Sunday rejoicing that God has come, that God has saved souls. Lord, undertake for our congregation as a whole. We do think of each and every one at this time. We think of those with particular needs, whether it be for them individually or for members of their families. Lord, that thou wilt intervene. Lord, we cast all of our care upon thee this morning, because we know with that assurance that thou dost care for us. Lord, remember those with loved ones out of Christ. We think of those with children. Lord, they faithfully brought them up in the things of God, and now their children are fully grown adults, but still out of Christ. Oh, that thou wilt have mercy. Thou wilt save our loved ones. Thou wilt save our family members, that they will be brought into the family of God. Oh, come and be with us now, we pray thee. Come and bless us in thy house. Come, O God, and speak, and we'll be careful to give thee all of the praise and all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 109, we're going to read together this morning as we return to reading the Psalms together week by week. We return where we left off, Psalm 109. It is entitled "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David." Psalm 109, and commencing at the verse number 1 of the Psalm. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath. Let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion, as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, to save him from those that condemn his soul. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts this morning. We're going to sing one more hymn before we come to the preaching of God's word. It's a hymn 230. The hymn 230, the page is 269. Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding off a sheaf. Be in time. Hymn 230. We'll stand after the introduction, please. Matthew chapter 13, want to turn to now, please. We come back this morning to your short series in hell and the reality of it. And so just three verses I want to read to you from Matthew 13. Verse 41 of the chapter. Lord Jesus is speaking on this occasion. He says in the verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is verse 42, particularly just those 8 words at the end of the verse that we're going to look at this morning. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want to consider with you this morning the people in hell. The people in hell. Let's just have a moment's prayer, please, as we ask the Lord for his help. Our God and our Father, we come, O God, this day, this very particular moment, to consider a very somber subject. And so we confess, O God, we need thee so much. We confess, O God, we need that hush of eternity in this meeting. We confess we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Empty us now of self and of sin. Fill us with thy Spirit. Give us the words to say, O God. May it not be simply the thoughts of man or the words of man, but rather may it be the voice of God. And may it speak. O God, may it speak to the lost this day. Stir hearts, we pray thee. Awaken those out of the sleep of death and draw them unto thyself. In Jesus' name. Amen. Over the weeks that we have considered the reality of hell, we began by considering the place that is called hell. Then we moved on to look at the picture of hell. We looked at how the scriptures, whenever you go through the scriptures from the beginning right through to the end, you have that picture that is painted bit by bit until you have that whole canvas of what hell will look like. Last time that we're in this study, we spent time considering the punishment in hell. What can be expected by those who will be there? But the question then that naturally follows after considering the punishment of hell, well then the question that follows is, well, who will be there? Who is going to experience this punishment? We know from the book of Revelation that it is revealed to us in Revelation 20 in the verse 10 that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. We can also learn from the words of Christ in Matthew 25 and the verse 41 that the everlasting fire has been prepared not only for the devil but also for his angels. And so there's the first group that we can say will be in hell. The devil will be in hell. The beast, the false prophet, will be in hell. And all of the fallen angels, all of the devil's minions, they're going to be in hell also. Important to highlight though in passing that some individuals in the public in the world have this view that hell is the devil's home. That he created hell, that he has shaped hell, that he's the god, as it were, of hell. He's the Lord. He's the king of hell. Now, that's a complete myth. It's a complete falsehood. Scripture is clear. It has been prepared for him. Because that's what it says, Matthew 25, 41. The everlasting fire has been prepared. The devil has no part in the shaping or the forming of the place called hell. He has no part to play, and when he is there, he will not be the king. He will not be the chief that everyone turns to. He is in punishment for all eternity. But hell is not just for the devil and for the beast and the false prophet. It's not just for the fallen angels. Men and women will be cast into hell. No, I wonder this morning if I was to ask you, and I'm not going to, but if I was to ask you, who do you believe? Look around the congregation, tell me, who do you believe here should be in hell? Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. But I wonder who you would point to. I wonder, would you point to anyone? Or I wonder, saying you know each other and you've known each other for years upon years, you know each other's individuals and you know each other's love and care, compassion, grace, kindness, you know all of those different parts. Maybe you'd say, nobody deserves hell. Now, when you ask the question to the general public, if you went out into the street, you ask the general public who they believe should be in hell, who is hell for, usually you'll get the historical figures will be mentioned, men like Hitler or Joseph Stalin or some of the other dictators that there have been and the awful crimes that they've committed. Those generals that have been over the genocides in Africa. You'll hear individuals like that mentioned. Or maybe you'll get certain groups of people, certain types of people will be mentioned, like murderers, rapists, pedophiles. People say, yes, throw them in hell, they deserve hell. But if I was to ask them, well, what about the individuals near and dear to you? What about your sons, your daughters, your parents? What about the brothers, the sisters? What about the neighbors? What about the friends? What about those that live round about you and you watch them every day? You watch the individuals in the community and you know they're decent. You know they're people that you can turn to in your time of need. You can go to your neighbor and they will help you. They will be kind to you. They deserve hell. What about the community worker? What about the charity worker? Those that are recognized by society, those that are given medals for their kindness over the years, their dedication to charity work, do they deserve hell? What about the individual who risks their life to save another? What about the soldier who goes through the wars, leaves all and goes to that foreign field to defend and to fight for their country? What about the nurse, the doctor? What about those that have went in the front line, even over this pandemic, as we've seen? Those that have left, and I've seen it even at times, nurses have moved out of their family homes. They've went away from their children. They've went away from their families because of loved ones at home, and they seek to care for them. So they selflessly move out. And they go to that front line in the hospitals day after day, and they're there serving day after day. What about the individual who suffers with illness and disease all of their lives? What about those that have known nothing but pain and agony, constant suffering every single day? To many in the general public, all of those groups that I've mentioned will say, no, those people don't deserve hell. They've suffered enough, or they've been kind enough, they've been sacrificial enough. Surely they'll go to heaven. And yet Scripture is clear. Every one of us deserves hell, and that's myself included. Every one of us should be in hell. Because all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That includes the nurses, that includes the doctors, that includes the soldiers, that includes the charity workers, the community workers. All have sinned. And all have fallen short of that mark that God has set. See, Revelation 20, the verse 15, it tells us, it's only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are the only ones that escape the wrath of God. Revelation 20 and verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. If the name's not in the Book of Life, it doesn't matter what they've done with their lives. It doesn't matter what career they did. It doesn't matter what help they were. It doesn't matter what pain or suffering they endured. If their name's not in the Book of Life, they're cast into the lake of fire. You know, on one occasion there was a Christian traveling on a train. Passenger recognizing him and knowing that he was a Christian, he said to him, "You Christians make me sick." He says, "You're always talking about a man going to hell because Adam sinned." The Christian looked at him and he says, no. He says, you'll never go to hell because Adam sinned. You'll go to hell because you refused a remedy for Adam's sin. He says, and as you've went to hell, you've trampled over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand that. See, my friend, if you refuse the remedy for Adam's sin, and all have sinned, why? Because Adam sinned. We sinned in Adam, we fell in Adam, but we have the remedy to Adam's sin is offered to us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his death upon the cross. It's his resurrection from the dead. That's what we can believe in today. That's the remedy for sin. We refuse the remedy for sin. You end up in hell. Now our text there in Matthew 13, verse 42. In reality, it separates those of mankind that will be in hell. It separates them into two groups. There are the wheelers. There are the gnashers. You know, it's very somber when you consider these groups. Our studies in hell are getting a bit more personal now. You see, now we're actually beginning to talk about putting people in hell. Now, as it were, we're opening that door. We're observing who the Lord is casting in. Because no longer are we just talking about a place. Now we're actually talking about people. The people that are going to be in hell. So I want to look at these two groups in our time that's remaining this morning. I want to look firstly at the wheelers. Tells us there in verse 42, there shall be wheeling and gnashing of teeth. Who are the wheelers? You know, there are many different individuals within this group. I believe the atheist is in this group. I believe the atheist is going to die and they're going to open their eyes. They're going to close their eyes in death and they're going to open their eyes in hell. And they're going to be looking around and all they're going to see is that darkness. All they're going to feel is that flame, the intensity of the heat and all of the torment. And they're going to be there and they're going to be wondering, what on earth? I didn't believe in God. I was sure God wasn't real. I believed all of my life that there was no such thing as God. I believed all of my life that God wasn't real. And once I was put in the grave, that was it. It was the end. Game over. I've been a fool. For only fools say in their heart there's no God. I went through my whole life. And I came across as being such an intellectual. I became across as being such a wise individual. I knew so much about science. I knew so much about everything. I could tell people. I could put them in their place. I could debate individuals. And I always said there was no God. But how am I here? God must be real. I think about the procrastinators in that group of wheelers. I think of those who always meant to get saved. I think of those that wanted to get saved whenever they were a child and the devil came and said to them, you're too young. The little ones that went to the children's meeting, the little ones that went to the Sabbath school, the little ones that sat in church and they kept saying, I want to get saved. And yet that little voice was coming to them saying, you're too young, put it off. And then they grew up, teenagers, into the adult years. And then they're sitting there and they're saying, I need to get saved. And the devil says, not yet. And so they came and they heard the gospel message. They heard the gospel invitation. And they kept putting it off. They said, not today, tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, not today, tomorrow. And they're there and day after day is passing, year after year is passing. Suddenly they're in their middle ages. Suddenly they're looking towards their retirement and they're thinking, what will I do in my retirement? They run out of time. Always meant to get saved. I always meant to get saved. I wanted that deathbed conversion. I had it in my mind. The preacher's going to come round to my house as I'm lying on my deathbed. He's going to open up the scriptures. He's going to point me to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have that moment. That moment doesn't come. And there they are in hell and they're wailing. I remember the preacher told me, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I remember the preacher telling me, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I kept walking out the door, past the preacher. And I kept saying, not tonight. Why didn't I heed the gospel? Why didn't I accept the invitation? We sang the hymn this morning just before we started preaching, be in time, while the voice of God is calling. I tell you this, you end up in hell, you're going to remember that hymn. You're going to know every word. You're going to be wailing. I just wanted one more day. And then I think of another group of individuals within the wailers. Now, in my opinion, as I ponder this in the study, this is the saddest group. This is a group I believe is going to raise the greatest lamentation. It's a churchgoer. I think of those who will open up their eyes in hell. They're going to be in complete shock. The cry is going to go out, why am I here? How could I be here? My preacher, my church promised me heaven. My preacher, he stood up the front, told me just to be a good person. My preacher told me just to attend, just to give. My preacher told me the church would look after me. Even as I was on my deathbed, my preacher came round and he said, you're okay. Yes, I loved the odd drink, but the preacher said I'd be okay. The church would be make sure. I was faithful. I was a good person. I went every week to my church. My preacher never once told me hell. My preacher told me heaven. Why am I here? I think of the Roman Catholic. They open their eyes in hell and they're like, why am I here? My priest told me, take the sacraments. My parents, they baptized me as a child. My priest was encouraging us, even as I came up through the ranks of childhood, I had my first communion. I went along to confession and I confessed to the priest, and the priest told me that he forgave my sin. Told me to say the words. He told me what to do. Why am I in hell? How did I end up here? I believed in the church. Yes, the church, they told me, you might not get straight to heaven, but you'll go to a place called purgatory. And after so much time, after so many years in purgatory, you'll be able to move on. But you won't be in hell. I believed in the church, the traditions of it. I believed in Mary. I believed that she could. I believed that she would speak for me in heaven. I believed that she had the ear of God. Now I am in hell forever. because neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, why am I here? I think of those that go to the church with posterity gospel. My church told me nothing of sin. My church told me nothing of this awful place. They talked about positive thinking. They told me to be positive in my actions. They told me to be positive in my thoughts. They told me to pray for better lifestyles. They brought out the verse, "Ye have not because ye ask not." They told me to pray for better lifestyles, for better jobs. They never told me about sin. Never told me about hell. They never told me to prepare to meet my God. And the cries go on and go on. And go on. The lamentation never stops. There is the wheelers, and then there is the gnashers. It tells us in the verse that 42, there shall be wheeling and gnashing of teeth. See, this is the other group of men that is in hell. What stands out about them is not a lamentation or a sorrow. What stands out is rather a bitter and intense hatred of God. You know, Scripture actually mentions this group on a number of occasions throughout the Old and New Testament. Romans 1, verse 30. Paul listing various sins. He includes backbiters and haters of God. John 7. In verse 7 it says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth." That's Christ speaking. The reason given is because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Those that hate the Lord in life will also hate him in death. They'll hate him for all eternity. Psalm 81, verse 15, it says, "The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever." So forever and forever, for all eternity in hell, they hate God. They gnash. And they grit their teeth. And the cry goes out from the hater, "I hate you, God. I hate who you are. I hate your person. I hate your gospel. I hate your love. I hate your mercy." And yet it's interesting. Those that hate God, those that despise everything to do with God, those that hate the free offer of the gospel, those that hate the Christ of the gospel, they're still going to bow the knee to God. They won't want to. They will bow the knee to God. And they're still going to confess that He alone is Lord. That hatred, that intense burning hatred within them goes on forever. Forever. Even as they're there in those torments, even as they're there in the flame of fire forever, never once will they stop hating. Never once will that hatred even decrease. My, what an awful place hell is.
Now the sad thing too, everyone in hell keeps on sinning. The hatred of God, sin in itself. The wheelers, they keep having the other gods before God because they keep believing, why did my church not get me to heaven? Why did I not just have another bit of time? No, my friend, hell is real. Many people are going. But I trust, I pray with all my heart, you never see, you never experience that place called hell. I trust and pray you're not believing in a religion. Pray you're not putting it off for another season. You're not saying tomorrow. You're not saying when I'm older. You're not saying on my deathbed. I pray you say it now. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he commenced his ministry, his very first sermon. Mark 1, verse 15, it says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. My friend, if you're here today and you're still in your sin, that's all you simply have to do, repent. What is repentance? It's turning. It's turning from that life of sin that you've held to for all of these years. It's turning away from the lusts and the cravings of the world. And it's turning away and it's turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all Christ said you had to do. Repent. Believe the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left the splendors of glory. Came down into this sin-cursed world, took on the humanity of us. And took our sin and our sorrow, took them to the cross. Suffered and bled and died. He was laid in that tomb till the first day of the week. And then raised in victory. You put your faith and trust in him today. You believe the gospel of Jesus Christ today is the only means, the only way of salvation. As we said that verse earlier, neither is there salvation in any other. You can't look to anyone. You can't look to anything for salvation. You can only look to Christ. What did the Apostle Paul say to the Philippian jailer? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. I was reading just this morning a short clip of an old sermon of Dr. Paisley's, preaching in a dying thief. He said the dying thief's hands were nailed to the cross, so he couldn't do anything with them. His feet were nailed to the cross, so he couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't be baptized. Couldn't observe communion. He could only do one thing. He could look to the middle tree and believe in Christ. My friend, that's it. You have to look to the middle tree. You have to believe in him. There are people in hell this very moment. Next week, God willing, as we come to the final message in this series, going to consider together the pain that they're in. I'm sure even just in a moment you can think of what passage we'll be going to. Luke 16. The rich man said, I am tormented. And is fleeing. There are wailers. And there are gnashers of teeth. But oh, that not one in this gathering or online will ever be numbered amongst them. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come today. Trust Him today. He will save you. Praise God, He'll save you forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy help. We thank Thee for the warning that is found within Scripture in relation to hell. God, we look around this world and we see the many. Many that are trusting such a multitude of things. Sadly, unless they turn, they're going to wake up in hell. God, we pray for each one that has come under the sound of Thy word this morning. Pray for each one that is here before us in this building. And I will have mercy upon their souls. If they're not saved, God, that I would save them. Pray for those listening online as well, wherever they be. I will come, O God, even into their homes. I will stir their hearts. I will save their precious souls. O Father, as this preacher's voice now falls silent, speak on, I pray Thee. Glorify Thy Son in drawing lost men and women unto Thyself. In Jesus' name, amen.